Amen. 1,000 years ago, the world like in chaos, and the church had to face in a lot of change. And now when we move forward in 2025, 2,000 years later, all of us, you, all of you and I, we live in the world, we can say like in chaos. We live the world never seemed to slow down. And if you and I, when we, every day, we go to work, and the social network, the internet, and everything, it just moves so fast. And I don't know about you, it looks like we get into the habit, looks like we check our phone just about every minute, sometime early in the morning, noontime, and in the afternoon. And all of you and also I, we kind of like juggling between work, family, and also go through on the social media. And sometimes we fall asleep at night, kept worrying about what exactly going on the next days and the demand of next day. And when I stand up here, I'm look each one of you, and last week I did a lot of counseling. Look like restlessness become our norm. Hopefully it didn't happen to you, but if it happened to the people you know, you can use this sermon to help them, okay? So you would find out God's word this morning in the book of Philippians, especially chapter 4. Whether you are single, some of you looking for work, you navigate to your career, maybe you are the new parent, some of you kept running around, and sometimes look like you and I, you know, we survive on caffeine. Like since 5 o'clock this morning till now, I ought to go through 2 cups of coffee to keep me moving. So we kept accustomed running on caffeine. And as a couple, I'm looked down to some of you. You have the children. Look like you balance your family life between bill, we hit any time soon, and then sometime burnout. But peace in your mind seem like the distant dreaming. Okay? But in the midst of the chaos, Paul, he writing from the prison. It's been the pressure very, very high in him. In the prison, under a lot of pressure, not quite sure what exactly the future would hold. And he wrote the letter from the prison, declare the very radical invitation. And what exactly did he say? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything. Oh, okay, we have up here. We have no back there, so I didn't know where we are. If you can turn back there so I can follow what exactly going on. Do not be anxious about anything, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your mind. So what kind of peace is that? You know, what exactly Paul tried to communicate to us 2,000 years ago and tried to communicate to us today. So you and I, this morning we go through Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9, and identify or at least learn 3 key principles from this passage, and hopefully would help us, lead us through to the peace of God. I forgot. None of the back. Okay, let me read the verses, but probably I will read a couple of verses, and you can read the rest from your Bible, especially Philippians chapter 4 to 9. But I read the first 2 verses. Rejoice in the Lord's always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evidence to all. The Lord is near. So the message Paul tried to communicate to us is not about positive thinking. Okay, not passive thinking. When he talk about rejoice in the Lord, it root in the doctrine, in the principle about God controlling everything and his presence with us. So Paul not saying like not to rejoice in your circumstances, but in whose God is. Because sometimes we get confused and we make a mistake to interpret this Bible verse and say, oh, whatever in circumstance, rejoice. No, he talking about rejoice in whose God is. And God is unchanged. He from the past, the present, the future never change. So he always faithful, and the Bible verse talking about he always near or close to us. So that's the reason why we can have peace, because the Lord is with us. And that's the foundation truth from Genesis to Revelation. So the Lord is near. So God is not so far away from the distance from you. So your anxiety, your question, you know, can be resolved if you know he's near to you, regardless in circumstances you are in. And he is still with us today. That declare in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. So peace based upon begins when we choose to reorient our attention from our problems to God's presence. Therefore, the worship we come to him, it breaks whatever the worry you have. So point number one. So point number one, I want to tell you or communicate to you, rejoice in the Lord, because peace begins with worship. So peace begins when we reprogram our mind or reoriented our attention from our problem to God's presence. And only worship can break the hold of worrying. Imagine some of you have the children. The children sometimes at night, like yesterday, suddenly, you know, thunderstorm is shake the house. So if you had the small children, what exactly if the children wake up that night, if they're in another room, trust me, they will run to the parent. So they need the father or the mother hold them in their arm, or the father's or the mother's arms. The storm is still raging. You know, it go on for 5 or 10 minutes last Friday. But the child has is calm. Why? Not because of the storm is, after 5 or 10 minutes, it's cut gone. But because the father or the mother is near to them. That's the whole principle or the whole key of how to be peace, because we know God close to us. Okay, so peace starts not when life is perfect. Trust me, none of us life is perfect. It have up and down. If you wait for life's perfect, probably you have to wait to the time you see our Lord Jesus Christ and you ask him why your life is not perfect. But if we still live in this world, our life is not perfect. But one thing we know for sure, God always near us, close to us. That's how we get peace. But the question we would ask, how do we move from the mindset of worship to the real peace in the everyday chaos? Yeah, in theory, from the principles that say, yes, God near us, we have peace. But how do we move from whatever we understand from our mindset to have the real peace in everyday life? Okay, that's point number two. Point number two, talking about replace the anxiety with prayer. Because peace through surrender. When you pray, it means you surrender yourself, your ego. You come to God and you pray. That's an act of surrender. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God in verse 6. So this Bible or this verse talking about not God not only know, but he actively care for each one of you, including me. And we also understand he rule or he control on everything. So prayer is not the spiritual task. A lot of people miss like, oh, I have to. It's a task. No, prayer is relational acts of trust in our God. Okay? So I advise to you, well, not because a pastor telling you or somebody telling you, you have to pray in order to have peace. No, because it means somebody else requests or you force into prayer. But the Bible, Paul, tried to communicate to us, it's relationship, it's you trust him. So that's the reason why you pray, because he will answer. That's the key. That reason why First Peter chapter 5, verse 7 said, cast on your anxiety on him. Because, why? Because he cares for you. Sometimes we forgot. Sometimes we forgot about this. Christ care for you. God care for you. So that reason why the act of surrender, you bow down, you pray from the heart. That's an act of worship. So the peace of God not come from ignoring the problem. Trust me, the problem's still there. You not ignore the problem, but you transfer the burden to the one, it means God, who can carry it. So sometimes I pray, you know, it's just so many issues. I couldn't handle it. I will burn out. So Lord, help me. So I let you carry my burden so I can have peace, I can have joy, and you provide me the wisdom so I can solve the problem. The problem's still there. You still pray for the kid. They're still young. Trust me, when they're 30, 40, you still pray for them, okay, on your life. Monday you report to work, the problem on Friday is still there, wait for you to solve. But why you can do it? Because you already transfer that worry to the Lord. And he provide, he near, so he provide you the wisdom, so suddenly Monday on the problem become easy to solve. It's very difficult because sometimes we forgot about this. I remember when I get the instruction from the senior vice president, the command sent to me, Hong Sen, you have cut the workforce by 680 people, include manager, supervisor, engineer, and worker, over 600 people. So as the manager or the top, you have to make that decision. It's very difficult, especially when you touch the life of the people. So during the weekend, I'm thinking about how do my people, over 600 people, will get laid off. At that time, they used a term very fancy, workforce reduction. Okay? That's the first time ever they introduced that term. And trust me, I couldn't sleep. Because I know some of my engineers, the wife's pregnant. They get ready to the baby. So how can they survive when the wife is going to have the baby? How? So trust me, I pray and I pray, I pray. But the whole week after that, still have to make decision, workforce reduction, or leave over 600 people. But God, when I pray and God give me the wisdom to go through the process with human resource, and when the decision make, no regret. Because you have to thinking about, you have to reduce by many people in order for thousand and thousand workers to survive the future. So suddenly the mind shift and change. And of course, we work out the process to help over 600 people go through the psychological help and find work for them, that kind of thing. So you will face the future, the problem sometimes small, sometimes big, but make sure transfer that burden to God who can carry it. So the question I usually advise counseling, the question for the parent, are you anxious about your child's future? I already go through that process before. What did I do? I prayed. Are you overwhelming with the job uncertainty, especially during the time government shut down? Over 10,000 people go through the process. Uncertainty. So how do you advise the people? Pray. And in marriage, sometimes the marriage have strains. What do you do? The answer, palm beach, pray. So pray, pray, pray. It's been relational act of trust, so you can transfer your mindset or your burden to Him. And pray He will provide you the wisdom how to take care whatever the issue. So Corrie Ten Boom, you know, she advised, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It's empty today of its strength. Trust me, sometimes you cannot control tomorrow, but at least you need to have peace today. Corrie Ten Boom, seen like a concentration camp because her family and her protect the Israel or the Jews at that time. So she go through a lot of hardship and punishment. At the end of World War II, she choose to forgive the people who very much like punish her. And she said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It's empty today of its strength. So Corrie Ten Boom, she lived through the horror of World War II, hiding the Jew in her home. But she found peace by not controlling the outcome, but by surrender them to God in prayer. Okay, now let's come back. But if prayer is the only part of the journey, what can we do with our mind also shape the peace we experience? Because a lot of people come to me, yes, I pray in the morning, pray noon, but where's the peace? It's still worry. So the key, we have to change our mind to shape the peace experience. So the third point I would try to communicate to you through this passage, you have to redirect your thoughts. Peace requires intentional focus. So you don't just pray like broad sense, but you have like tiếng Việt gọi là thay đổi cái tư duy. It means you change, you redirect your thought. Okay? That reason why in verse 9, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, and then think about such thing. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, it's been part. Put it into practice. So it's not, don't just hear things, but need to practice When you practice, you take action, you reprogram your mind. And when you pray, think positive. Okay? Bring positive, not negative. And take action. So verse 9 reflect the renewing of the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Because God changed our life by transforming the way you think. Okay? So peace is not just the feeling, but the product of disciplined mind saturated with God's truth. So the more you have got truth, your mind will be free and you have peace. Okay? So look over to your partner or your wife or your girlfriend. Look over. Okay? Gerald, turn around. Look Helen. Think one thing positive about her.
Got it?
You too. Okay, you think positive about her. What action you going to take today? Or else it's just a thought. Okay? Maybe walk with her in the neighborhood. Maybe take her to Lehman. What is that? What is the Happy Lehman to have the cupcake and just talk. You see what I'm trying to communicate? You actively, you thinking positively. Don't think about negatively. But you have to take action or else it's just the thinking, the thought. And the thought, your wife, your girlfriend, your children, they don't see it. Take action. So it's become, let's just say, I use the word. So you know, when you refocus your mind, it's intentional focus. Don't tell me how you think about your wife or your kid. Don't tell me. Okay? But take action so your wife, your husband, your children see it. And if you do it enough, become the habit. Become natural. And life will have peace. Peace starts from you, your family, the church, and then impact your work. Okay? So many of us, you and I, sometimes we lose peace. Why? Because we restricted our mind. We think, we worry, we act, we said we have peace, we joy, but reality, we lie. We fake peace, and trust me, it not resolve any issue. And sometimes, a lot of toxic, I call it toxic, or negative, or passive thinking, you go through your mind. But if it happens, when you look at the people, you don't see the good in the people anymore. So sometimes social media will trigger the comparison. Why? You and I grow up in the same type of family, the same level of education. Why? You are better than me. Comparison, that's negative. Sometimes the news cycle, especially you live during this time, so many news, fake news, good news, not, don't even know what kind of news. It gets confused and it promotes fear. And you understand without God, any change, small or large in your life, it triggers fear because of the unknown. But Christ, He forever the same. Okay? He's the foundation of peace, of joy. He's the foundation of our faith. He never changed. And that's the only thing we can hold on. Your parent can change. Your boss can change. Your neighbor can change. But Christ, He never changed. And that's where you have to hold on. And especially when I do the counseling, a lot of this happens. Somehow a lot of people come to me, their inner voice, their thinking, their thought, whisper the failures. They're not good. They're the failed person. If it happened to your mind, okay, pray, get it out. It happened. And sometimes, your health is not good, and your only way is thinking on the bad thing. You're not good enough. The failures. And especially if you just get laid off, you're in high, and after about 3 or 4 months, you couldn't find a new job, and suddenly the thought would happen in your mind. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not smart enough. I'm a failed person. Get it out of your mind. Okay? And you will have peace. So Paul, he's telling us, redirect our focus. Don't stay on or dwell on what, not good to our mind. But we need to hold on about true, about lovely, about praiseworthy. And the true is really the key. And take the practical step. Make a habit of replacing the anxious thing. Anxious thought to the truth. Meditate on the scripture. And I get the habit of writing down. I don't know how many of you write the journal. Tiếng Việt gọi là viết nhật ký. I write it down, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But of course, I highlight the good one. Okay? Probably when I wait, Andrew, retire, when his children completely grow up, when Evan grow up and get out of the house, probably I will give him my journal of Andrew grow up and how we pray for him from the time he's in the womb. And I still have it. Okay? And the same thing. Because the older you get, you forgot a lot of things. So I had a habit of writing down, how I pray for him on the positive thing, and I use the positive to encourage him. Okay? Make it a habit. And limit your input in your journal or your diary. Anything stir up fear or negative. Okay? Because your life is just like the garden. Okay, but the garden, if you don't plant good seed, if you didn't put out on the weed, then what happened? On the thing it grow up is really wild. You cannot control it. So Paul telling us, be intentional with your mental garden. You have the children, you grow the garden for the future of your kid. Some of you, you're going to apply to college. Think positive, because that's the garden of your future when you go through 4 years college, okay? And the same thing in marriage, the same thing. So if you sow the truth, the beauty, the goodness, you would harvest the truth, the beauty, and the goodness. And that's what Paul, even though he's in the prison, he communicates, he advises, he teaches, be or do like that. So what is the result? And God of peace will be with you. So to summary, peace is not the absence of the problem. Tomorrow you will report to work, the problem's still there. Okay? But it is peace is in the presence of God. So what exactly he tried to tell us? He telling us, rejoice in the Lord. He always with us, near us. And make sure you pray. Why you pray? Because you create or you have relationship with Him. So you know He cares for you. Okay? Some of you have a young kid. Let's just say after the whole week, your kid didn't even talk to you. Something wrong. Right? But if somebody is, so he will come and talk to the parent. It's just like you come and pray to the Lord. Okay? So redirect your thought, because our mind is very strange. Okay? All kind of things are coming in, and sometimes it depresses us. So the Bible is talking about redirect your thought, because He will transform you. So this is the peace the world cannot give to you. But Jesus, He promised it is yours. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 27. So we already go through the joy in the Lord, replace anxiety with prayer, redirect with the. This morning, I changed the process a little bit. Instead of me pray, okay, of course, I will do the conclusion. But I want you to read the prayer with me as practice, okay? Or else I just pray and then distract you. Let's read together. Lord, in the world filled with noise and pressure, we long to your peace. Help us to rejoice, pray, and dwell on truth. Thank you for being near. Guard our heart and mind with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is just like the sample prayer, okay? So you can copy it or you can create your own. Our Father, we thank you very much, because your word from Paul reminding us we need to come to Jesus for everlasting peace. The word reminding us we have to rejoice in the Lord. We replace anxiety with prayer, and we need to redirect our thought. May God would be with me and all the people in this room. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all these people in this room from now and forever. Amen.